Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PB&J podcast. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I am joined by PB, Pat Butler. I'm the J, Jesse Hutmaker. How you doing, Pat?
I am doing well. Survived Thanksgiving. Ate too much like we always do, but survived, and now we're headed crash course into December.
Yeah, it was really weird. Thanksgiving, I think it marked, what, a month, or Christmas Eve? Like, it was like 30, 31 days until Christmas, and brought the whole reality of everything being here so soon, you know, into our face. And now we got to figure out what we're going to buy for everybody.
That's right. That's right. I'm all over it too, man. So, but yeah, here we go.
Well, most importantly, just actually this morning I saw a trailer for the new Star Wars. Made me wonder, have you bought your tickets yet?
I did. I did. Actually, I when they did the big, they did the Monday Night Football trailer release, which was weird. And that night they did the ticket release as well. So I went online, and Sam, my son, was adamant. He was all fired up. This will be the third Star Wars film in a row where we've gone during the opening week, end, whatever. And so I got the tickets, and funny little story, he wanted to go as soon as he could. So they have a Thursday night, you know, really Thursday night release. I go, hey buddy, I'm afraid that's out of reach. That's just not going to happen. Those tickets were snapped up like the second they were on sale. And there was a Friday morning, 8 a.m. show. Okay. And, he goes, let's go to that. I go, how am I going to explain that to your mother and to school? And he's like, oh, it'll be okay. And I go, no, it won't. So we're going to the show right after school on Friday, and he's pumped, and so am I. We always go to the Alamo Draft House, which I think is one of the best movie-going experiences around, and this will be the third Star Wars film we've seen opening weekend at Alamo, so it'll be great.
Awesome, awesome. You know, I'm going to let everybody get it out of their system, and Beth and I are going to keep with our tradition of the last 2 years of seeing it New Year's morning. We usually see the first showing then, and then after that, then she doesn't care if I watch football all day, so all is well with that. Now, was Sam? No, he wasn't around when episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out, was he?
No. He, it's funny. I introduced him to the trilogy, the original release trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, Star Wars Empire and Return. And then we went back and actually watched 1, 2, and 3 later. And he kind of got into it, but things really picked up with these, newer films. He's a little bit older. He could really get into it even further. And so the excitement is there, man. He's into it full on. But it's been really cool to watch the films with him and kind of re-experience that through his eyes.
Yeah, I mean, because he's just a little bit older than you and I were when the original one, episode 4, came out. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that. Yeah. So does he have a favorite?
I ask him that a lot just to see where he would go with it, but he really doesn't. It's funny. He bounces around, and he'll bounce around for various reasons. He likes parts of this, parts of that, which I understand. But I'm like, got to go dark side, son.
You know, I think I'm one of the few that Empire is the favorite, their favorite, and I'm not ashamed. It's I still like that one. I think because I knew with that one that we would get a third one, you know?
Yeah. No, I love Empire. It's dark, and I love how they took that dark and continue that storyline. So I'm all in on Empire.
Yeah. You know, I will say, though, it's, you know, what is it, man, 40, 41 years or 40 years since the original?
It's crazy, man.
And now it seems like it's bigger than it ever was. You know, I mean, we have your son. Now he's growing up with the movie. You know, we grew up with the movie. There's the generation younger than us that got to see episodes 1, 2, and 3, kind of grew up with them. So it's just an amazing franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger than ever. Since Disney made the purchase, obviously they know what they're doing when it comes to releases and how to tie in merchandise and commercialize something. But to that end, it is everywhere. I mean, I'll be honest, this week I was just on a flight and there's a 5-year-old kid right across the aisle from me, and he had Stormtrooper slip-on type Vans type shoes, and he had a Death Star t-shirt. And I just looked at this kid and I'm like, wow, you're all in with the Empire, repping the Stormtroopers in the Death Star. But it just really struck me how these younger kids are getting into it, and they have access to everything now. They have access to toys, they have access to clothing, the movies, everywhere you turn. And now with the release of The Last Jedi, I mean, I've seen so many commercial tie-ins from cars even.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nissan has the all black Rogue, you know. It's crazy. Actually, I had a mother and son in over the weekend, and the son had a Kylo Ren action figure, and I was like, oh, you know, big Star Wars fan. He's like, yeah. And I had to ask him what his favorite was, and he liked he liked episode 4, and I was like, oh, all right, you know. And so I was telling him I saw it in the theater, and he's looking at me like, what the hell, you know, how is that possible? And then I was like, well, why do you have Kylo out with you today? You know, why aren't you going with you know, Darth? And he goes, well, if something happens to Kylo, it's no big deal. But if something happens with Darth, devastating. And I was like, and I looked at him, you know, being a collector and everything. And I was like, I love where you're thinking. I love where your head's at. And the mom just shook her head. And I was like, you got to understand. She goes, oh, he's ridiculous about them. And I go, well, it doesn't help nowadays that, you know, there's serial tie-ins everywhere you turn. There's a Star Wars tie-in, but I think it's great, and it's truly fascinating, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean the franchise just it perpetually could just go on and on and on, and I'm sure Disney will continue to make sure that happens. But it's just cool to see these kids start to get into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if you think about it, during our lifetime, it really hasn't lost any steam, because, you know, it came out, and then episode 5 came out, and then episode 6, there was a lull, you know, there's a pretty good lull in between. But at that time, it was like the cult of it was getting even bigger. And then you had the kids that were just a little bit younger than us. They still were at that time frame that they could get into it, and so they got into it. And by the time they're hitting their teenage years, late teens, you know, then we had episodes 1, 2, and 3 come out. So it just kind of keeps everything going. And you know, I mean, it's amazing to think that, you know, 40 years later, there's another episode coming out. And you know, I'm not going to lie, I think the last two have been outstanding. They've been everything I've wanted, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, here's what's crazy about it. You're right. It hasn't lost steam, and it has never had to fall into the category of a reboot. You know, I think of like some of the franchises like Star Trek, that's had to be rebooted. Some of the superhero films, they continue to reboot. But with Star Wars, it's carried its cult status into a full head of steam and now gotten stronger than ever, which really speaks volumes to it, man, to not lose steam for 40 years.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Neva and Tito both have Star Wars hoodies, and you know, I bought Tito a Star Wars T-shirt, and it looks just like the T-shirt I had in the '70s, and it's awesome. And you know, it just keeps going. And my only thing I say is, I wish the first three. Not episodes 4, 5, 6, but episodes 1, 2, and 3 would have not been as advanced with the graphics and everything, because that's the only issue I have, because I love them, but like, it's hard to watch them and place them ahead of episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think we all kind of write that as, you know, Lucas fulfilling that vision while he had the opportunity. However, I wish they would have had the foresight to go, hey, wait a minute, just because we could rely on a lot of CGI, maybe we shouldn't, and try to have the look and feel fall in line. Because now when I look at these new films, I think they've done an amazing job of replicating that period of time and making those films fall in line appropriately with what the feel was for 4, 5, and 6. You know what I mean? I think they've done a great job of honoring that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, visually it is a little bit more advanced, of course. You know, but they've done an outstanding job of, you're looking at it, and if you watched all, if you watch 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, all in a row, and you really wouldn't see much change. You'd catch a lot of the errors that they had in the first couple, but you also have to remember that was, you know, that was the late 70s and early 80s. And if you look at what we watched then compared it with now, you're definitely going to pick out the flaws in anything, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I'm willing to overlook them. I'm willing to overlook them.
Well, I think also that's part of the appeal is, I mean, I don't think that I could ever say a Star Wars script was worthy of an Academy Award or a Golden Globe. I've never felt the acting was, you know, on that par. I just enjoy that. I enjoy the movies. I'm not a sci-fi fan beyond Star Wars, and it's the only real time I can allow myself to, you know, put my it's the only time that I let myself get into that mode, if you will, suspend belief, I guess it is.
Sure. I mean, that world, that environment, that sci-fi environment that they've created has become accepted to us. I mean, we, you know what I mean? Like, that's the world we accept. And so there, we can suspend disbelief and accept that world, I think, a little bit more easily. And I'm willing to kind of just turn it off and let that thing go and be entertained more than judging it for anything else as far as like acting ability.
Yeah, you know, but even if you take, I don't want to be real geek about this, but if you take episodes, if you take 4, 5, and 6, and you look at some of the things that you're presented with, they were the bar, for example, you know, I mean, that was a pretty badass bar. And you know, when I watch it, I'm like, I'd go to that bar. I'd have a drink there, you know? I mean, it's just those kind of things. And when they present the landscapes, it just brings everything close to home. And then, you know, when you're dealing with Darth Vader, there's that whole feel of everything that it feels so bad and evil, there's a great job of creating that without like throwing it in your face, good versus evil. It's just letting you see everything, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the cantina scene truly is. I mean, you take a bad bar in our current time with, you know, rogue characters that are on the run, outlaws, if you will, and you drop that into a sci-fi setting, and they did a good job of showing there's always going to be that bad element. You know what I mean?
Right, right. But now, see, I don't like to call out the scenes because I don't want people to think that I'm a full-on geek about it. I like to keep those between my conversations with Beth when we fully geek out about it.
No, I totally understand. You have to understand, one of my first play sets was the cantina. And
awesome.
It was cool because it was just the basic playset, and it had a cardboard backing with the band on it. and the funny part is we would set up to play with our action figures, we'd set up the cantina, but then in all reality we'd get everything set up. And that was just it, man. They're all hanging out at the bar.
Yeah. Hey, pass me your Kool-Aid, buddy. Yours is green. It looks better than mine.
And I was like, and looking back, I'm like, what the hell were we doing? But hey, let's reenact the cantina scene.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But then even like the land speeder.
Oh, yeah.
I would put, if you could buy that today, you know, it's like our streets would be perfect because I wouldn't have to worry about the potholes or anything. But, you know, I mean, I'd be about that one. I'd be like, I want one of those. It's perfect.
Absolutely, man. The land speeder, I still think that's going to come to pass.
That would be so badass.
That has to. I mean, and you know what? I'll be honest. I'm going to go back to the toys here. The land speeder that they introduced, I thought was a really cool toy because they made the soft kind of springed wheels underneath, and they hid them kind of underneath. Oh, yeah. So cool. So the thing did look like it was floating. I still think that's an amazing toy. But anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I used to like to put Darth Vader in that, though.
Rolling out.
You know, but and then think about it too. I mean, if you had a lightsaber on your hip and you didn't like what somebody was saying, just pull that bitch out and be like, what, you gonna keep on? I mean, that'd be the ultimate the ultimate weapon, you know.
Yep. What'd you say?
Oh, you got a gun? Don't worry, I can deflect those bullets. I mean, you know, it's all good. So does Sam have a favorite character?
Again, he's really funny, man. I can't pin him down on things because he again, since some of this is kind of evolving right as he ages into it, he's kind of growing with some different characters. So I don't feel he has some of the attachment to a Han or a Luke that, as an example, that we may have had. He kind of has been able to shift through virtually all of the films versus growing with 4, 5, and 6 like we did, and then going back 1, 2, 3, and then kind of adding the new films. It's kind of allowed this generation to kind of grow into the films and attach themselves to the characters kind of differently than we did, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, I mean, I love Han, but I thought he was cool, but I didn't gravitate towards him. I liked him. I loved how he was, but I know he's a lot of people's favorite. I've always been a Stormtrooper fan.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My thing, hey, listen, I'm down with the troopers, and if anything now, I love the look of the Stormtroopers. I love the feel of it. Here's my thing, man. What's going on underneath the helmet? I mean, you know, in the last film, think about it. That was the first time in a sense that we've been able to see someone take off the helmet.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah.
And in a way that was so shocking for me to see, because I was like, holy shit, he took the helmet off. And now I want to know what the end of the shift looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Do they punch out? What do they do? Do they sleep with that on? Is there a special breathing apparatus in there for them? But there's so damn many of them, too. That's the other thing. It's like they just keep coming. And they don't seem to be very bright. I think that also adds a likability factor to them for me. And they just do, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I think there's a whole possibility for a storyline there.
A day in the life.
A day in the life. I still love that undercover boss that Saturday Night Live did. Did you see that by chance?
What was it? A Star Wars one?
Yeah, and it was with now I had a mental block. What's his face? Who played Kylo Ren?
And oh, yeah, yeah.
He put a blonde wig on. Had to do basic maintenance chores, things like that. And they were in kind of like a break room. And it was great to see him act like he was just one of the people. And then he ultimately got mad and destroyed a bunch of things.
I'll have to YouTube it.
You do. It's actually great. But anyway, films.
One last question.
Yes.
Any of the women in the Butler house into Star Wars?
Lily went along with some of it for a hot minute and got bored and moved on. But I can definitely tell you no one else. So,
but you got Darth Vader. What? I mean.
Oh, why do you think I was down with her name? Having my daughter named Veda, I was like, perfect. I'll throw a Darth in front of that. That works.
It's her Halloween costume every year. I mean, it's perfect.
Right. Embrace all right. The dark side.
Yeah. All right. Before we everyone fully thinks that we have problems, let's get to the punch list.
Let's do it. All right. What are we listening to, watching, reading, drinking, all the above?
All right. What do you want to start off with?
Well, what have you been watching?
Well, I finally broke down after you telling me about it. And I read an article with Justin Bateman and just talking about his kind of resurgence that he didn't really like expect to be a resurgence. So I started watching Ozark, and Jesus Christ. You know, that area of the country is beautiful, but now I don't think I ever want to go there.
I agree.
What you been watching?
I love that. I love that series. Oh man, that was good stuff. I am halfway through Stranger Things 2. So I love that show. I love what they do with it. And I'm kind of working my way through. I didn't jump on it immediately. I'd have kind of give it some time. And so halfway through Stranger Things 2 and enjoying that little escape.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that one. I got to give it time. I let everybody else get all excited, and then I'll go back to it. What have you been reading? I know you've been flying a lot, so getting caught up on any books?
Not necessarily caught up. I've been reading a book actually kind of related to business, and I listened to a guy give a talk. He was a co-author of this book, and it's built towards business. And honestly, it's about appreciation and being able to inspire employees through appreciation and different ways to approach that rather than just a quick rah-rah. There are other ways to kind of build your culture around appreciation to help build people, which, you know, sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. It's easy to get busy and to not, you know, appreciate the work that's being done. It's just kind of taken for granted. And so this is a way to help kind of showcase that and build your culture and build your people up from within. So it's more business related, but I really like it, man. It's made me reflect a lot.
Now, what was it called? I missed that.
It's actually called Appreciate, celebrating people, inspiring greatness. So just been kind of diving into that. It has some interesting information. The company, there's a company that we work with that the guys co-authored this, but they also work with businesses to help them understand their culture and to help in certain areas. And so we've been working with them on this, and really interesting stuff.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. You know, it's been one of those, I've neglected the magazines for a while. So I've been going back and trying to catch up on those. And, so that's what's been occupying my reading. Nothing really exciting. Most importantly, drinking.
That's right. Drinking. This last weekend I was in LA and I got to spend some good times with my friends. And at their home, my buddy said, "Hey, let's do some whiskey sampling." And he busted out a couple bottles that he's been collecting. And one was a 21-year-old and the other was a 23-year-old and another one was a 13-year-old aged whiskey. And they were just fantastic. And I'll tell you, man, I love whiskey anyway, but to sample it on that level and to have the opportunity to taste something that's been aged well and is a really fine quality gave me a much better appreciation for whiskey and actually how to drink it and sample it. So had a lot of fun doing that. One was a Japanese whiskey, by the way, Hibiki, and the other one was a Scottish whiskey, Craigellach, and those two are the standouts by far. Fantastic, fantastic.
It's funny that you mentioned that because actually on CBS Sunday Morning, I think the same week that you sampled it, they had Japanese whiskey and how they're gradually becoming one of the world leaders in whiskey. And I believe they went to the Hibiki plant, or at least they talked about it because it may have won a medal at the last whiskey whatever competition. So really cool. I still can't drink it. Too many bad things happen when I drink it. So.
Understood.
The night before Thanksgiving, we went to the Fairhope Brewery in Fairhope, Alabama. And I guess she would be my niece. Her boyfriend's dad has a bluegrass band called Fat Man Squeeze, and we went and watched them and drank a lot of beer. And I think I had probably just about every beer they had on tap that night. But they did a good job with their beers, particularly they have really clever names and they're all escaping me right now, but I really enjoyed their amber. And they do a really good coffee stout. And, you know, I've learned that you have to start off with the light stuff and work into the heavy. You can't bounce around or else it is trouble right away. But I enjoyed the beer at Fairhope again. It's the second time to that their tasting room and tap room, and definitely go back again.
Very cool. Very cool.
Lastly, what's been in the headphones?
I kind of shifted back and I was late to it this year, but got back into it and kind of been diving into Margot Price. Really like her and I like what she's been doing. And it seems like as the year ends, she's starting to continue to gain steam and get some attention. So really like her and curious to see how that continues to develop for her.
Yeah, that album is growing on me and I do need to see her sometime soon. I had a weird thing. I decided to put the iPod on shuffle, and Mazzy Star came up, and I was like, "Oh God, oh yeah!" But I don't want to go down this hole today, so I decided I would go with her Hope Sandoval's her solo. Well, I don't really call it solo, but her side project, Hope Sandoval and the Warm Intentions. And I've been going through that a lot and been really enjoying that. I really enjoy her voice. And So Hope Sandoval for me.
Nice. Can't go wrong there, man. Absolutely yeah. Love her. Well, excellent. Well, we're at our mark, and love that talk on Star Wars, man. Good stuff. Anxious to see the new film.
Me too.
Well, listen, as always, we want to thank everybody for joining us. We've got many more episodes coming up, getting back into a regular rotation, and we hope you join us for another one. As always, the PB&J podcast is a Find the River production. Thanks so much, Jesse. Good times, my friend.
Thank you. Had a fun time.
Take care, everybody. Talk soon.